Hey Santa, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Bernie.
Hey, thanks. So Santa, could you please just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I'm basically my day job is a software engineer. I work in Cisco Systems. I've been there for over 15 years now. And when I started in Cisco, Cisco is beginning to giving back to the community. So I volunteered for a few organizations there. And then when it came to thinking about kind of giving back from myself, I just thought that there is something that I can do. And in fact, I love music and dance, and I thought I could give back to the community regarding classical music and dance, which has been my I spend a lot of time hearing and enjoying music and dance. So we thought that we would do something. I just brainstormed with my husband, Suresh, and my daughter, who is also a dancer. We thought we should start an organization that will focus on providing a forum for local dancers. That's how we started. And usually local programs are always in some temple or some place where, it's not really so easy to present. So we wanted to provide a stage where we have all the state-of-the-art facilities available, and there is a forum for local upcoming talent to present themselves. And slowly from there, it went into quite a big organization with nearly 8 to 9 concerts in the year, presenting local talent in Bay Area and also across U.S. and also across globe. And then we also started doing something in music, and music we started doing it on the television. So we conduct concerts, record them in state-of-the-art studios, and then present them on the television and now on the internet.
I see. So, going way back, I believe you're a musician yourself, right? So you used to play a musical instrument, the veena, back in India, right? Right. And so when you started thinking about this organization, this was, you said, your husband Suresh and your daughter Teja kind of brainstormed and started this together. So that would be around when, in mid-2000s or something like that?
2006 is when we started this. It's been going strong since then.
Nice. So how did you start? So what was the first thing? So to build this organization, what was the first step?
So the first step was like I just called. There's a lot of talent in the Bay Area, so I just got the numbers from various different dance schools, dancers who are performing regularly, and also some of the youngsters who just finished their Arangetram or Rangapravesham, which is a solo debut. I just called a lot of them and I collected what is it that, they would like to see in the community. What is it that is missing? What could we do? And I collected a lot of this information. In fact, back in 2006, when even conferencing, video and audio conferencing wasn't there much, we just had a conference call across the US, and I had people joining from Houston, Rachna Kumar, and people joining from Atlanta, New Jersey. Many of these dancers, they were like really excited. They said, "Oh, this is wonderful." And they joined the call and gave all their feedback. So one of the things that we wanted to do is where to present, who, what is the nature of the concert, and how we can fund this. So, and one of the things we did was that let's keep the budget as small as possible. And also we need, at the time of the beginning of the organization, we did not know how we can how challenging it is to actually get the audience also. So we thought that part we did not worry about. We just thought that we give a free concert and someone will figure out how to fund this. And we know in the community, a lot of parents really love classical dance form mm-hmm. and music. They spend a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And when we just opened up, people said, oh, I'll sponsor this concert. So that's how it started.
Nice.
So we try to keep our expenses so minimal.
Mm-hmm.
And we just planned for giving some token appreciation to the artists
mm-hmm.
and then take care of the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a website from day one. In fact, even before the organization's first concert, we had a
mm-hmm.
Website fully functional with a concert schedule for the year.
I see.
And so that's how we started.
Mm-hmm.
So what we thought is that we would make it, I mean, back in the day, 2006, it mm-hmm. was like there is a $500 sponsorship.
Mm-hmm.
So if we had three sponsors of $500, then mm-hmm. our concert is taken care of. We don't have to even ticket the program. We can bring the people a free concert in a state-of-the-art theater. That's what we did.
So the main expense is the theater itself, renting the theater and the facilities.
Yes, yeah, it is just the theater, mm-hmm. and everything else is 100% volunteer-driven. So I being the engineer, and many of my friends are mm-hmm. all working software engineers, and everyone mm-hmm. wanted to give back to the community.
Mm-hmm.
So many of them said, oh, yeah, I would love to help.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, initially me and my daughter, Teja,
mm-hmm.
started the website.
Mm-hmm.
But further down, there were several people who said they can help with the website, they can help with the lighting.
Mm-hmm.
And can help with the audio.
Mm-hmm.
So like that, the organization grew.
Mm-hmm.
And so from the beginning, from the very first concert,
mm-hmm.
We had about 20 to 25 volunteers
mm-hmm.
actually helping.
Oh, nice.
And in every concert, mm-hmm. that's still the case. We have 20 volunteers
mm-hmm.
who work on the day at least 7 to 9 hours.
Oh, plus, wow.
We have volunteers who take care of the concert before and after, and the website.
I see.
So it's in numerous hours.
So could you describe typically what happens, you know, what do these volunteers do, say, just before the concert, during the concert, and after the concert, so that, you know, if someone wants to volunteer, they would have an idea of what are the tasks involved?
Yeah, we have, before the concert, we have talking to the artists, preparing the website, getting all the getting all the information. This is per concert we have this,
mm-hmm.
and we need to assign the volunteers to do certain tasks,
mm-hmm.
and we need to make some purchases.
Mm-hmm.
We need to figure out how we can set up the ticket sales. If there are, later on some concerts started.
Mm-hmm.
We could not do with just sponsorships, so we ticketed the program
mm-hmm.
and we market the program right now through social media and
mm-hmm.
through email.
Mm-hmm.
We market the programs. Back in the day when social media wasn't even there present,
mm-hmm.
We were actually literally printing the flyers, putting up in the stores
mm-hmm.
and doing all the work and spreading the word. So all this work was there. And on the day of the concert, we had to set up the lighting for the dance performance.
Mm-hmm.
So people usually have a very intricate, minute-by-minute lighting cues for a performance.
Oh, wow.
So we collect all that information ahead of time
mm-hmm.
and provide that kind of lighting and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, they provide audio. Sometimes it's a live music.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's a recorded music. If it is recorded music, we collect it ahead of time
mm-hmm.
and verify that it is all in a state where people can, we hear it, we see the sound levels and see how it will sound in the auditorium
mm-hmm.
and we put all those things together. In the beginning, we used to even make a visit to the theater, and that required some work
mm-hmm.
but now we know the theaters well enough
mm-hmm.
that we don't have to visit before the program because we know we repeatedly use them.
Yeah, you've done it so many
times.
So
we don't take a day before.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the things before.
Mm-hmm.
On the day of the concert, we have all the purchases to make.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have people at the front desk.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have people ushering the audience.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have someone on the backstage
mm-hmm.
to coordinate the control room with the backstage artists.
Mm-hmm.
so that there is very minimal time. You know, when you go to a performance, we don't see what happens in the back end.
Correct.
But like, for example, in order to do, people get really anxious if we do not start the next item within few seconds.
Right.
And it takes a lot of effort to make sure that everything is in place for the current performing item to finish and the next item to start. There's so much to happen, and we need to hold through to get that going.
I see.
In time.
So not only do you have
multiple artists.
No, I was just going to say that there's not only on-stage choreography, you also need all this kind of off-stage, backstage choreography for things to flow smoothly.
Yeah. And then we also have a snack bar, which appears like, okay, why do we have one? But it is interesting that a lot of people who come to the concert also use it as a social event. Like, many people come there just to, you know, catch up with their friends or their professional colleagues. Like, sometimes what happens is that there are two dancers, they want to meet, and they would just come to the concert, also meet during the break and also enjoy the concert. So a lot happens. So we do have a sufficient break, and we have a snack bar. And so snack bar, we don't make any money on the snack bar, but we do provide a social gathering at that time.
So and it's almost like a cultural networking event where artists get together and talk to each other and, you know, figure out collaborations and future opportunities.
That is definitely something that Yuva Bharati has started.
That's wonderful.
And it is going very strong. Right now, I mean, at one time, before Yuva Bharati, in the Bay Area, we had very few programs. Like, for example, maybe one program in a few years, which is a collaboration between artists. But since Yuva Bharati, we always have concerts with our collaborations where, you know, there is a student program which is gives forum for students of various different teachers. Similarly, a teacher or a professional program where we insist on collaborating multiple artists together, because we feel that a lot happens because of those collaboration, and people started enjoying it. And we were the first ones to actually promote some of the orchestra, you know, a lot of times orchestra is prohibitively expensive for the artist, unless it's an Arangetram where parents shell down thousands of dollars. It is very difficult. So with Yuva Bharati, what we do is that we bring up and coming even musicians, bring them together in an orchestra. So we provide a collaborative environment where the artist doesn't have to worry about paying the other artist.
Right.
And the organization takes care of that. And so we've been doing that. And yeah, coming back to volunteering, there's a lot of cleanup factor. Many of these halls, the theaters themselves do not have enough staff.
Correct.
So we have to literally clean, take the trash out, and we do all that.
I see. Coming back to this collaboration, so that's what you mentioned is really a great thing for the community, for artists to come together and collaborate without worrying about cost. So what was one of your favorite collaborations, an example of a, you know, wonderful collaboration? I believe you have an event coming up this weekend, right?
Yes, we have an event coming up this weekend. And this weekend, we are going to do something called Saptavarna. It is seven shades of classical dance. And this is actually a production from India, quite an expensive production that actually we are hosting. Because a lot of organizations do not have the reach into dancing community, so they come to us asking if we could host the program, that way it can reach more people and we take care of the logistics. So this presents seven different dance forms. It is very well fits our organization's goals. And this artist, Aruna Mohanty, she's an extremely respected artist in India. She's an Odissi dancer. She collaborated with seven different dance forms of India with top talent in each of the dance forms, and she's bringing them together: Bharatanatyam, Mohiniyattam, Kuchipudi, Kathak, Odissi, and Chao dance form.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many more dance forms that she's bringing together and presenting it in one stage.
Wonderful.
And that's the program which we are hosting.
Mm-hmm.
And we are seeing a lot of interest in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that this will be a very successful program. And the collaboration with the artists is a very, it seems like something that everyone wants.
Right.
But it is very difficult to achieve because many of the artists, it is not that easy. Artists are creative people,
mm-hmm.
so they get so attached with their creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And so collaboration is not exactly like, okay, this is my idea,
mm-hmm.
and I want it this way. It's always about you're open to criticism, mm-hmm. and you're open to others' ideas,
mm-hmm.
and an inclusive method,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of not very easy to combine it with creativity.
Right.
And so it is a challenge, and but everyone learns from there. So mm-hmm. artists themselves know they gotta do this,
mm-hmm.
and so I think they gain a lot. So even though there are a lot of, we go through a lot,
mm-hmm.
sometimes the volunteers come back and say, you know, it's so difficult to communicate with artists. it is that happens. But however, I mean, we are trying to go year after year, still doing collaborations.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite collaboration that we do
mm-hmm.
almost every other year is that it is called Kalpana.
Mm-hmm.
Which means creativity.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is that most of the time,
mm-hmm.
a grand guru somewhere in India
mm-hmm.
would have choreographed an item, mm-hmm. and usually it is handed down in the guru parampara.
Mm-hmm.
So people perform exactly the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you see some items, they just, everyone performs it the same way.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very easy to perform it to perfection, but
mm-hmm.
they try to get there,
mm-hmm.
but we want to see more creativity happen and new choreography.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that they will not be creative there. They
mm-hmm.
do a little bit of creativity,
mm-hmm.
but they don't. When they perform the handed down items, it's the talent is very, very different from creating new items.
Right.
So we have organized a concert,
mm-hmm.
which happens every other year or every year,
mm-hmm.
sometimes in a row,
mm-hmm.
Where it's called Kalpana, and we ask the students of dance,
mm-hmm.
I mean, or anyone for that matter, actually, whoever wants to choreograph it,
mm-hmm.
they can choreograph and bring new choreographers to this concert.
Mm-hmm.
So we open up and we get applications, and there'll be usually a theme. The coming year, the theme is Panchamam.
Mm-hmm.
That means they have to stress on number five.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like for example, we give even some thought process there, like saying, oh, Pancha signifies
mm-hmm.
Panchalingas,
mm-hmm.
or Panchalinga Kshetra,
mm-hmm.
or Panchabana,
mm-hmm.
or Pancha. The five elements,
mm-hmm.
or you know, anything like that, Shada, Panchanana, which is Shiva.
Mm-hmm.
So we throw those ideas, and then we open up for people to come up with creative items, and they come and present, and it's one of our the most successful programs, and because whenever you have something like this, they want to discuss, and we always say that this should be a group production,
mm-hmm.
not an individual production. Sometimes we do allow individual because,
mm-hmm.
You know, the idea is too good, we still allow individual production. But we try to encourage group production. That's my favorite of the concerts. It's a challenge to organize.
Mm-hmm.
In each of those concerts,
mm-hmm.
Let us say there are 10 groups performing, and each group may, on average, have 7 to 8 dancers.
Mm-hmm.
So we are actually
wow.
presenting 70 dancers in one concert.
Oh my gosh, so it's like a festival, literally, more than a concert.
Yeah, exactly. It's a festival, but very focused.
Mm-hmm.
And so people love it. They look forward to it. Of course, a lot of people say, oh, I didn't get a chance to perform. And, you know, we do have more people wanting to perform compared to how many slots we have.
So do you have like an audition process for it?
Yeah, we do. I mean, especially for Kalpana, we just do a proposal-based thing. And for general performances, we have an extensive
vetting process.
I mean, the application itself is not very difficult, but the process is very involved. So what happens is that anyone who wants to perform solo in Yuva Bharati sends an application. It's a one-page application, and they will tell who their guru is, what's their tutelage, and what are their achievements, and whatever their professional dance professional resume, and they'll send a video, and they will we collect all of them in the month of June. By June, we have everything. And in about August, we will review all the applications and set up the calendar for the next year.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So, for example, this August, the committee, Yuva Bharati has a committee. We do not have a president or anything like that, but there is a committee, usually of 5 to 7 members. And the committee comes together to review the applications. And we do select people and send out acceptance and whatever. And for example, we get we used to get something like 30 applications, and we would select 6 to 9 people from there. And nowadays, we get as high as 60 applications.
Wow!
And we still have only a selection of 9 or so candidates. And the way we choose is we try to, for the solo concert, we try to keep give priority to local talent. So generally speaking, when we see when non-local people are presented in the Bay Area, they should be the really top in the field to come and perform here. And local artists, yes, we have a lot of great talent, but generally, if we do have something like a 20 non-local applicants, we would probably bring only 2 of them, whereas local applicants, if we have 40, we probably bring 5 to 6 of them.
I see.
Yeah, so that's what happens. And then we have all these productions from India, some top dance productions, they come. So they all, one of the challenges there is that they have a particular itinerary and a time when they are coming.
Right.
And it's so difficult to book theaters in the area. So it's a challenge. We present as many we can. Usually about 2 concerts in the year are from artists from India.
I see. So one of the hardest things about building an organization like this is to kind of get the word out. And as you mentioned, in 2006, you were, you know, printing flyers and, you know, putting them in stores. So what was the secret sauce or the element in this that made it so successful in terms of becoming, other than, of course, the high quality of the art being presented? How did you overcome this problem of, you know, getting the name and idea out?
Name we have got because we present good programs. When people come to Yuva Bharati, they kind of dance programs, they know that they're going to see
a high really quality concert.
Yeah, good quality. So that we already established ourselves. Still, it's a great challenge to have good audience for the artists. We do our best.
So what do you mean by good audience? What is what is a good trait of a good audience?
Can you repeat that?
So I said what?
Good audience. Okay. Yeah. So for example, there is the quantity and the quality of the audience, right? So the quantity of the audience is like how many people are actually in the theater watching the program. We have a 300 seater. It is very difficult to bring 300 people month after month to these programs because there's a lot going on, it is difficult to get the people. Then the other thing is that the quality of the audience, and we all know, I mean, many people who are in US know that man, if it's a very big name, extremely popular artist or something, the tickets get sold and people come. If it is not really the top, and it is very difficult to convince people to get up and come to the concert, right?
Right.
So that is where we want a good quality audience, not people who have just an obligation with the artist that
right.
they come and come to the program. Rather, they should want from their heart to come and see the program. So the way we do it is by grooming very good programs, and also by actually spreading the word, telling what is good about the concert. In fact, we do put some videos out saying what's going on behind the concert, and we put out the brochure even before the concert, so they know what is happening in the concert. So, and we know that a lot of times artists are very busy, especially on the weekends.
Correct.
So it is very difficult to, let's say one top artist is coming from India, we are a Bharatanatyam artist. I would like all the Bharatanatyam artists to come in, see the program.
Correct.
So dancers also, and it is very big challenge. So we tell all these things ahead of time, so they can plan their schedules, and they can see how they can come to the part of the program that interests them. We don't even expect them to stay through the whole program.
Correct.
And the other thing is that we keep our tickets very our membership very low. Like, for example, we give 7 concerts in the year, and the ticket price, the membership is $30 per annum.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
that's nothing.
We want the artists to come and say, you know, I bought the ticket once, I don't mind coming again. I mean, it's like $30 is typically a price of even a single ticket, for that matter.
Correct.
So
much more.
So we keep the ticket price very low, and people who are, see, some people put $30 to come to a program for an obligation, right?
Correct.
They may not even come for the next program, even if it is great.
Correct.
But we will, we want people to come and enjoy. It's not like how much money they paid. We want them to go home.
Correct.
That they really love the experience.
Correct.
Right? So that's how we are managing. And we also have something called a partner program with school teachers. So the teachers actually spend something like a $200 partnership, and we give them at times even something like 10 tickets for their students to just come and watch.
I see.
Right. So they can come and watch the program, and we ask them to tell ahead of time and how many kids are coming to watch the program, so that the teacher can let their students go without be asking them to pay, you know, again, you know. So that's the kind of, the teacher can come along with their students, like some 5-6 students, and enjoy the program together. And we also have other benefits for the teachers, where we can help them with their co-sponsoring some of their events, and some of them we even actually sponsored visas for artists coming from India, so that they can work with the orchestra and stuff like that. Like, as of now, this month, they have sponsored 2 artists from Delhi, who one sings and other is a vocalist and one is a mridangist. And they are performing for several Arangetrams in the Bay Area. So we do all those things for the partner schools.
I see. So these are, you know, partnership with other dance schools.
Yes.
Right. So you had mentioned earlier that you essentially have your year's worth of programming done in, you know, by June, July, when you receive applications, you screen them, and you're essentially setting up the schedule for the rest of the year. So in the beginning, when you started, did you have any difficulty, kind of, or not difficulty, was it challenging to set up the schedule for like a year's worth of programming, for instance?
Yeah, actually, for that matter, we still have the challenge. So we kind of build some backups. So sometimes the artist is not available, or like, you know, they think, okay, I'm available, initially they sign up. As we come closer to the concert, they realize, okay, there are some personal thing or something they are not able to participate. We usually build some backups so that, you know, the backup can substitute. We tell them ahead of time that you are in the wait list. And also in the very rare events in last whatever our 13, 14 years of happening, like, you know, we never really canceled a concert because we all usually have not a single artist. We have maybe three or four artists. So we can even have the concert with one artist not
drops
being
out.
Available.
I see.
So there are times when we had to change the concert date. And we do that, yes, it costs a little bit, but we do that instead of, you know, on the month of September. If all the artists agree, we can do it on other months, which is November.
Right. So we've spoken about the programming and volunteering. So the other question then is getting funding for non-humanitarian causes is really hard, especially like fine arts. So what was so how did you do it and how did you build it up?
You said it very well. I mean, when you when people think of a non-profit organization, they think of really extremely needy people in terms of food, shelter, and whatever. But they don't look at as art as something that is like a non-profit. I mean, some people even think of giving to religious purposes as a non-profit, but they don't really understand how it is a non-profit. So it's very hard. So that's why we have a mix. So we have sponsorships where people know that these things take a lot of money to actually present. So there are people who understand, who see, like, we have few sponsors who saw a very good program and they happened to organize like their daughter's arangetram or something like that. Then they know how much it costs and they just come and write a check. So we have been lucky that way. But other thing that happened, this happens kind of rarely, it doesn't happen on a everyday basis. And the moment you start ticketing programs, people think that, you know, why should I donate to a program which is already ticketed? But the point is that even if it is ticketed, the program takes so much more money and you can, we need still some donations and other things to break even
Right. So you're heavily subsidizing these programs.
So we in our organization, we or the committee strives hard to break even each and every program so that, you know, at the end of one program, we are not like cutting into next program or something like that.
It has to be sustainable in the long run.
So, and one of the big things that we do is that there are the ticket sales, even if we ticket at $30 or $20, it's very hard to price a program. If it is too much, less people will come. If it is too less, people may come, people may or not may not also come. Then we are actually losing money because the people who came would have actually not minded giving another $10 for the program. So it's very hard to price the ticket. That is one thing challenge. Now, the next thing that is a challenge is that, so even if all the tickets are sold, like how many people could come, they still don't break even in most of the concerts. Like, for example, the next concert that we are doing, we are not going to break even. The way it we break even in these concerts is that, but not these, September's is a very big program, but in general what we do is that all the volunteers who are in professional organizations, it's a big thing in Silicon Valley, I'm sure it is throughout the world, that corporations actually give something called matching gifts. So we run everything through the matching gift program so that as much as possible we get double or triple. For example, companies like Cisco, every year because of the volunteer hours that we get from Cisco, we get $3,000 to $4,000 in funding from Cisco. Just because the Cisco employees are volunteering. And I being in Cisco, I volunteer 200 hours and straight $2,000 will come to your parity. So that is what we try to mitigate with those things. And we also get funding year after year. We get funding from Silicon Valley Create. And occasionally we got funding from ACTA, Alliance for California Traditional Arts.
I see.
And then individual sponsorships. So these are the ways. And so far, every year, we at least go 500 to 1,000 in profit. That's the overall. Because of not each concert will not give us anything, but at the end, because of all these additions and matching, we come positive.
I see. So it's essentially, it's self-sustaining with a little bit positive.
It is definitely self-sustaining. But it's a lot of volunteer hours, you know. Even to apply to funds, we have to spend, like for example, to get, let's say $2,000 from Silicon Valley Create, we have to put up an application form which is like 30 to 40 pages.
Right.
And this is a lot of grant writing, creative writing that we need to do.
Yes.
And it's not easy. It just takes a lot of effort, maybe about 20 to 40 hours of time to write one grant application.
Yes. Yeah. It takes a lot of effort to get those.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And if you don't get it, you don't know, you can't plan anything.
Yes.
If you don't get the grant, you need to have a
backup plan for that. So what are your where do you want to take first of all, before we go there, how did you choose the name Yuva Bharati?
The Yuva Bharati, basically we want to say that this is for the up and coming generation. We bring very senior artists also, but at the end, we still want to call this Yuva Bharati because we bring senior artists because we want the up-and-coming artists to get
inspired.
The knowledge or the experience inspired by them.
Right.
So we still want to call this Yuva Bharati.
So Yuva means youth.
And with Swara Lahari, it was, Yuva Bharati is the overarching organization. Under that, we have the organization called Swara Lahari. We haven't talked about that much.
Right.
That is the music wing of Yuva Bharati. And that organization produces 4 half-an-hour concerts every month.
Oh, wow.
So, and we used to initially telecast them in local channels and provide these videos online. You know, you're talking about the time when even YouTube wasn't.
Correct.
There. Yeah. So it's just coming up, like not many people even know YouTube. So that is the time when we started. And so we used to host all these concerts on our own website. And streaming on the website. So that organization was actually named by my father, Swara Lahari. We are big into music, and he suggested this name. And we also wanted to have a different name because we didn't want people to be confused with what is the dance organization and what is the music organization. So we wanted to brand them differently.
So what does Swara Lahari mean?
Swara Lahari is, Swara is a note, Lahari is a wave. So it's literally, it's a wave of notes, and that's what it means.
So that's like a, it's like a wave of music coming at you.
Signifies music.
I was just clarifying because, you know, some of our audience might not know Sanskrit, or they might not know the meaning of those words. Where do you want to take this organizations, and when will you say that, oh, this is, you know, this is what I was aiming for? Or are you already there?
This question, like people asked me even like 5-6 years ago, I didn't have an answer. I still do not have an answer. And I just feel I do this because I want to give back to the community. And I think classical arts have survived for several centuries.
Yes.
And I think each of us have to put a little more into that. You know, I mean, if you think of it as a lamp, every generation has to keep on adding some more oil to that lamp to just keep it glowing. And it's not like, okay, we have a target, we have to keep this light on for 10 years. So I look at it as just a little effort in that path. And I really don't see, that's why even our punchline is like enriching life with performing arts, but we don't have anything like, you know, I have this target of bringing down the poverty line or, you know, whatever. Those kind of targets, I do not have, and I do not know if we as an organization are really aiming for that. We just want to give back to the community and keep the arts alive, keep the younger generation engaged in the classical arts, make the life of artists a little bit easier by helping them being the... So, quite frankly, I don't have an answer for your question.
But actually, that's a very nice answer you gave, because, you know, all this notion of, you know, where are you, where are you going to go 10 years from now, 5 years from now, they are all such, you know, standard questions. But what you have said essentially is that this is a thing that has grown so organically, and I think every creative effort is essentially organic and fueled by passion and, you know, wanting to create something and see it, watch it grow. And I think that that's what is reflected in this is, you know, is the passion, the commitment to the arts, and to further, you know, what, as you said, you know, humanity has created over centuries to make sure that it continues and it evolves and it turns into something really beautiful. And it's an organic creation. And I think all these notions, even though I asked you the question, this notion of, you know, almost like metrics, right? Where do you see it 10 years from now? I mean, those are all kind of very prosaic questions that should not be asked in the context of such creative ventures.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, this is just an ongoing thing. It's like, you know, we wouldn't, for businesses and commercial establishments, they have a target.
Right.
And it is very personal also for them. Like, you know, they want to take the company to whatever, a million, billion, whatever they want to do.
Right. I guess that's essential for their survival.
You know, a lot of times, some of the volunteers and also some people who are in the committee, they question these things. But, you know, if you do go with something like, you know, I want to do this, I want the audience, every concert to be 100% sold out or a full thing, you know, we can put some goals like that, but it seems very artificial.
Right.
And they won't take us, in the long run, they're not the goals which will take us to the, which fulfill our mission.
Yes. Very well put. Yes. So, so that sounds wonderful. And you had mentioned that, you know, you
have... Another thing is that I wanted to tell you about actually Swaralehri, but, you know, maybe it is something that even more dear to my heart.
Oh, tell me, Santa, please. We have...
Bharati.
Yeah, tell me.
Yeah. So Swaralehri is... growing up, I just enjoyed seeing dance. Because me and my friends back in India, we used to go to music college, music and dance college, and she was learning dance while I was learning music. And I always used to enjoy watching the dance. And of course, I didn't even think I could dance or I could even go to a dance class. Music was something that is very well accepted. So I learned music. And I enjoyed dance, watching dance. So we started the organization for dance. And one of the friends said, how come you're even into organizing dance programs when you actually were only interested in music from the beginning? And I said, yeah, that is really true. And this was very early on. Like she came to a couple of my other Yogarthi concerts and said, why are you not doing music? Why don't you just add the music to this dance programs, right? And I said, you know, the audience is different. The people who enjoy dance programs are very different from the people who enjoy music programs. If we just combine, mm-hmm. like we are neither serving.
Right.
So we wanted to do something separately for music.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought back and I said, what is it that I enjoyed back in India,
mm-hmm.
that which I felt as an artist was the most useful thing for me?
Mm-hmm.
And what I used to, I mean, I'm not at all, I don't claim to be any artist at any level.
Mm-hmm.
But back in the day, I used to perform for, I mean, Hyderabad Radio, Yuva Bharat, I don't even remember what is the name. Yuvani, it used to be
mm-hmm.
called. It's a 15-minute program
mm-hmm.
that presented up-and-coming artists. For performing for that 15-minute program, I used to practice for 2-3 months.
Wow.
And mm-hmm. it's amazing. Like, I could really master the item that I'm performing for mm-hmm. that. And then again, after 3 months, they would call me again. It is like once you're selected, you will get a chance to perform every few
mm-hmm.
months. And it used to keep me always engaged with music and
mm-hmm.
be there, because I always worried, how am I going to do my next
mm-hmm.
15 minutes? So this is what actually motivated me to continue to keep on working on music.
Mm-hmm.
I thought if there is something similar,
mm-hmm.
the artist will keep coming back
mm-hmm.
too. And that's why I thought that the only way we can do it is through a media, not just a physical concert,
mm-hmm.
because we cannot provide opportunities for people to. And so that's why I was actually looking for a radio channel
mm-hmm.
with which we can present classical music.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was looking up on the internet,
mm-hmm.
I did not find any place where I instead found a number of studios
mm-hmm.
in US which
mm-hmm.
are available, which are called community channels.
Mm-hmm.
So at one time, when people laid the Comcast cable or whatever cable
mm-hmm.
in US,
mm-hmm.
they have set aside a couple of channels for free speech.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So the free speech channels obviously cannot really have that much content because they have a lot of restrictions. They have to literally allow the local people to
right.
come and speak. And the reach is not very high. It is within the local community.
Mm-hmm.
Suppose you record in Palo Alto,
mm-hmm.
it will go in and around Palo Alto, but it cannot go anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to literally go anywhere else,
mm-hmm.
it is called, you have to cycle your video.
Mm-hmm.
So you literally take the video, cycle it to the other station, and they will play it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other way of doing it. So
mm-hmm.
it's purely a local channel.
Mm-hmm.
And they have state-of-art studios.
Mm-hmm.
They have been maintaining that.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily for us, in our neighborhood, there were two studios
mm-hmm.
which are state-of-the-art.
Mm-hmm.
And one was when AT&T was going away from business,
mm-hmm.
they left the whole business, left it as a non-profit organization for the
mm-hmm.
free speech channel.
Mm-hmm.
And they have state-of-the-art studios and office space for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been promoting, I think they are there for the last 30, 35 years,
mm-hmm.
promoting free speech. And we just approached them saying that we want to do
mm-hmm.
Some classical music recording
mm-hmm.
and will it fit? And they said, yeah, we would love to do that. And they provided all the, this is called Mid-Pen Media Center. And
mm-hmm.
There is another studio called KMVT
mm-hmm.
15.
Mm-hmm.
And that is in Mountain View, which is a neighboring city, which
mm-hmm.
also has a state-of-the-art. And now those are the two places where we go to record. Every month we record one or two concerts
mm-hmm.
and we put them. That is a whole different volunteer team.
Mm-hmm.
And I really have built lots of friendships and others, like one of my good friends. She takes care of whole Hindustani.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Shobhana Swami. She mm-hmm. takes care of all the Hindustani
concerts,
and I coordinate
the
Carnatic concerts, and we have a whole bunch of volunteers who come and enjoy recording studios. It's also building a skill of doing multi-camera recording, doing audio,
wow,
mixing the audio and all that. So there's a whole different bunch of people. I'm very glad that we could provide that. And now, because of internet, because of YouTube, and social media, they're able to present all this in to reach worldwide.
So you have your own channel,
about
right?
Yeah, we have our own channel.
So, no.
You mean to say in terms of TV channel?
No, the YouTube channel.
YouTube channel we do have. We have quite some subscribers, and we, I don't remember, maybe 1,500 or so subscribers right now.
Mm-hmm.
We started the YouTube channel a little late.
Mm-hmm.
We used to produce all our, I mean, present all our programs to our website.
Oh, no, on your website,
we would have
right.
something like 100,000 views per annum.
Oh, wow.
Like that.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, and these are 30-minute concerts. So it also gives the artist enough challenge to present 30-minute concerts. It also has good screening because mm-hmm. classical Indian music is all about manodharma or the creativity.
Mm-hmm.
So we ask the applicants to master that before even coming and applying for an IIT.
Right. So you had mentioned a little bit earlier that, you know, you know, one of the motivations behind this was, you know, when you were performing as a young artist in Yuvani in Hyderabad, the discipline and the commitment it needed from you really kind of engaged you with the music. And so can you tell us a little bit about what instrument you played and you know, an example of one of your favorite pieces that you played at that time, and do you still play?
Oh, I played Veena.
Mm-hmm.
I do play once in a while, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
really once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of course, I like certain ragas.
Mm-hmm.
So my favorite was whenever someone came home, like as a child when I was performing,
mm-hmm.
I would always perform one item for sure,
mm-hmm.
which is like one Tyagaraja Kriti in Purvi Kalyani Raga.
Oh, nice.
And Jnana Mosaga Raga.
Oh, nice.
So that
one.
Was the Kriti. That's like, you know, you wake me up anytime,
mm-hmm.
even if I don't touch the instrument for like maybe 10 years, I would still be able to play that
mm-hmm.
item. So, yeah, it's my favorite. In fact, I just love the raga, but anyway, there are many other things that I like, but this is something that comes to mind. It's an interesting question.
And so in order to, if say someone to come to you and say, if I want to build an art-based organization, clearly, you know, what kind of commitment in terms of time is needed, you know, could you kind of give us a little bit of, I know you mentioned volunteering hours and how you went about it and the time in terms of if one wanted to go the grant route and, but, you know, I would suspect that this would take up almost all your non-working waking hours. Is that correct?
Yeah, it does. It does take a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it depends on what is the charter, right? I mean, because we've been there for the last 14, 15 years, a lot of people who want to start organizations
mm-hmm.
actually come and ask me, okay, how did you start? What is it involved? How do you get a nonprofit status?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have helped many organizations get the status after we got it
mm-hmm.
and how to sustain the nonprofit status and all that. My
mm-hmm.
husband and I, Suresh, and I have helped a lot of organizations. And so one of the things is that it is a charter. Like, first of all, a lot of people want to do it. And there are gas, right, after, like, you know, one or two concerts or
mm-hmm.
after one or two events. I think that is something that you need to know, like, how much do I want to give? I mean,
mm-hmm.
we have to assume that if you organize one concert, and it took 15 hours of your time,
mm-hmm.
then it's going to be, it depends on how often you want to organize the concert. It's going to be that 15 hours or maybe more for every other concert in the future.
Correct.
So, yeah, we ought to see that. And similarly, if you start with a budget of something like 10,000 for an organization, the budget keeps going up and we have to be really prepared for how to do all this. So again, it depends on how much you want to do. You could start an organization
mm-hmm.
and keep it simple. Like, you know, I want to do only one concert a year.
Mm-hmm.
I want to organize a festival.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there are a lot of organizations which came up after we started,
mm-hmm.
but they kept a very tight focus that we'll only do one concert in a year,
mm-hmm.
or we will only do
like a festival.
Like, one event in every other year.
Mm-hmm.
They've done that. So those are not that difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that then the organization will not have the visibility also.
Correct.
Like, it seems pretty random that, you know,
mm-hmm.
you do one concert a year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you spread the word? You know, there are those things too.
Right, right.
So I don't know if I answered the question right. It depends on what is the charter.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to be clear ahead of time, what is it that you want
to
do?
Right.
Yeah, in the long run,
mm-hmm.
maybe have some thought in 2-3 years, what do I want to do?
Right.
Right.
And as you pointed
out, sometimes
they
start an organization. I've seen many people start an organization
mm-hmm.
because they want to do something that for the, I mean, their kids or their, they personally are performing or their kids are performing. They want to start an organization.
Oh, for their own personal projection.
Then the there is no passion for the organization.
Mm-hmm.
So those come and die.
Yeah.
And if our aim is that, then fine, that's what it is.
Right.
But then we should not confuse it with a non-profit organization.
Correct.
Or a giving back or something.
Correct. So, and, you know, as you pointed out, it's not only the putting together, you know, the creative and the artistic part of it. There's also an administrative overhead that one has to be willing to take responsibility for.
Yeah, like, for example, for me, my Suresh takes care of a lot of administrative work.
Mm-hmm.
He knows, and he also keeps an eye on the budget. Like, I just say, oh, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give some little donation.
Mm-hmm.
No, you have to first make it sustain.
Correct.
On its own legs.
Correct.
You can give later, but you know, you have to get the plan. So
yes.
He helps a lot. He's my, I go to him for everything.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he is present in all 100% of Yo Bharati concerts since
mm-hmm.
its inception.
Nice.
I have missed one concert
mm-hmm.
in all these 15 years,
mm-hmm.
but he has not even missed that concert. He was in US and I was in India for one concert.
Mm-hmm.
So I have his support for everything, and I have the whole family which gives me support.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of my friends,
mm-hmm.
Who are friends from 30 years,
mm-hmm.
in fact, Lakshmi Gopal, who is currently leading the whole team,
mm-hmm.
she is my friend for last 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And she probably puts in maybe 3-4 hours every day on the organization.
Oh, wow.
She's been doing that for the last several years,
mm-hmm.
and most recently, last 3-4 years, I think that's what she's doing. And the other thing is that many of the people who are actually volunteering for this organization,
mm-hmm.
that is the community. They have built friendships around the
mm-hmm.
organization,
mm-hmm.
which is really interesting. Like, you know,
mm-hmm.
We have get-togethers and
mm-hmm.
you just say, oh, Yo Bharati friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing to do with Yo Bharati, but we all meet and someone organizes a dinner. Like, it's become
right.
A friendly thing. So now I think many people enjoy.
Yeah.
And to just bring something to the organization in terms of, you know, leadership,
mm-hmm.
we have a committee.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we manage. We don't have a president and secretary and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of us believe that if you name someone as the president,
yeah.
then it just you know, causes some commotion, like, I wait for that person to give.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
it removes that the whole democratic aspect of it.
We want to have a bad kind of architecture.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is, earlier it used to be everyone is a volunteer. Now we have a committee because we need someone to own up one concert, you know.
Right, purely from an organizational perspective, you know, in order to do the logistics and keep everything moving, you need to have that committee.
Yeah.
And it's what you said about, you know, forming friendships around the community is really wonderful, because I think it's this common passion for music and dance that kind of draws all of you together, and to have friendships around that and kind of promoting that is even more wonderful. Hey, Santha, thank you so much. This has been actually a really wonderful interview.
Hey, actually, I should thank you. I mean, I did not even prepare for this, but I'm so glad that you asked me. And some of the things I said today, I've not said to anyone in my life. So you made me talk. Thank you so much.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Santha.
Arnie.
Thank you so much.